This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On this week's episode, we're going to be focusing on the U.S. Equestrian Federation's course design program. Richard Jeffrey will be here to explain the concept and tell us how it's going so far. And then later on, we'll be hearing from another course designer, Chris Barnard. But first, the U.S. Eventing Association would like to recognize David O'Connor for his many years of service as the chef de keep and the technical advisor to the U.S. eventing team. David has worked tirelessly for the sport, and we look forward to his continued involvement. We'd also like to remind members that the board has offered up grants for safety and education projects, which are due on June the 1st. The USEA board believes that funding education and safety projects, which benefit all levels of eventers, will help increase the overall safety of the sport. Accordingly, the USEA's safety and education committees are requesting proposals from the public for projects that will grow and facilitate education and safety for competitors, instructors, officials, and volunteers. And there will be a link in our show notes accompanying this episode where you can find more information. The USEF Jumper Course Advisor Program was introduced in 2004 to raise the standard of eventing jumping course design in the US. Initially, the program focused on jumping courses for FEI and advanced level competitions, and the goal of the program was to ensure the standard of the courses throughout the country and to deliver courses which provided the same technicality level they would expect to find at the championship level. And of course, this has now been extended to other levels. And joining me now is Richard Jeffrey, who is the man behind this program, to explain how it's been expanded. Richard, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much. Glad to be back.
And as I said, it has expanded. You've had several events now, which you've reviewed. So give us an overview, if you would, of how this is structured.
Well, as you say, it started way back when we were just really doing a one-on-one with the course designer. They would send their courses in advance, and I would sort of critique it, offer advice, anything on the course. And my comments were copied just to the TD and actually the cross-country course designer, who's actually still responsible for the show jumping. And gradually, over the years, I'd say we've covered like 70 different course designers, quite a few of them doing it more than 1 year. But my feeling was that it was only getting through to a few people at a time. And recently on a lot of the show jumping, regular show jumping sites, courses have been posted, which I've always found useful to see what other people do around the world. So I thought it'd be an interesting thing to expand this so that more and more people could understand and gain from it. It really is an educational thing. And what happens, of course, also is that a lot of course designers, with America being so big, don't necessarily travel from coast to coast, so they don't always know what's happening elsewhere. So one of the ideas also was posting these courses, you know, people on the that are sort of strict to the East Coast could see what the West Coast is doing, vice versa. I mean, obviously, the technical delegate going around would help to standardize this. But the idea was to say that everybody could see what other people are doing, but not just the FEI course designers. Those building at the national level could also have a look and gain from that experience as well.
Well, it clearly has taken off now, and you've had several events already that you have reviewed that started back at the Carolina Horse Trials in March of this year, and you're updating these regularly, aren't you?
Yes, actually, fair enough. Just I'm working on Fair Hills at the moment. What happens is the courses come in to me after they've been built, and I've included what I call an evaluation sheet, which I asked the course designers to fill in a few questions. And originally that was just for me to assess what went on. But I found it so interesting that we have decided to post that as well. But then I write a report on the course, mainly on the positive side of it. This is all to be positive, not a negative view, pointing out the good parts of the course, where it's interesting things. And then I'm trying to sort of, on each plan, pull out something that's useful, like where it's a good place to use the triple bar, how effective it was on that course, or as one event I had the other day where they used, it's a small ring, and they used an island as a turning point so the horses didn't fall in. So on each event, I'm trying to pick out an item that hopefully course designers will find useful.
Yeah, about education, of course, but you know, you also pick up on the subtleties, as you say, about the features of a course, of the actual arena itself.
Yeah, because each one is different. And of course, you know, there is a danger that someone can say, oh, well, you know, someone can copy a course and use it as it's posted. And to be honest with you, I'd rather someone copied a good course than built a bad course. But of course, things, that clothing, you know, one size doesn't fit all. So that the only danger is anyone listening to this and thinking about picking out a course. It's important to have a look at the top of the page because I also list the size of the arena. So if someone wanted to perhaps use a similar course at home for practicing or even at an event, it's important to find a course that... a course that fits an arena of your size and not trying to squeeze one in or even expanding one because it never works.
And, of course, the other important aspect is the footing and the actual weather conditions on the day as well and how that has been maintained. You bring that into your evaluation.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. I mean, obviously, weather does play a part on it. And particularly windy days, I don't know if other people have experiences. I always find horses never jump terribly well on windy days. Rain doesn't seem to affect them too much, but obviously the weather would have an effect on the course to some degree. So it's just interesting that when we try to do the statistics of how many clear rounds and what percentages of it, the weather could have had an effect on that. So I try to put that in just to equalise the whole thing.
How are you carrying this forward in terms of how many events that were going to be part of this program, Richard? How many course designers are giving you this feedback?
We are actually picking all the FEI courses in America during the year. So there's something like 35 different events. Obviously, some will be running, you know, CICs, some CCIs, some just 1 and 2 stars, others up to 3 star. So every FEI event is going to be covered. But what was interesting when... we started drawing up the list, and I started looking at who was building. Mark Donovan and Chris Bernard are actually now doing like 50% of the FEI courses right across America. And of course, these two are recognized course designers as well in the regular world of show jumping. So that is very good because it's giving an idea of what really happens in regular horse shows, which they're building courses that matches that. So that's keeping everybody up to date with what's going on in the real world.
In terms of getting into that routine, you know, you go to the same venue, Richard, year on year. There's a matter of sort of, I'm sure, of what's familiar to you, but not just changing for the sake of changing a course. Give us some tips about what course designers might find helpful and not to fall into that trap.
I mean, it's very easy. I just... if you read my report on Rolex that's about to be posted, same thing. I mean, I've built there for the last 20 years. I've built every 4 star that's at Rolex, and it's very simple to do that. Unfortunately, you know, things do change as you progress. The standard of jumping gets better, and the footing gets better, and the material gets better, so that helps you. But it's a very easy thing to be over creative, and I think this is why it's important. You know, to look at other events, if you can go there yourself and obviously see regular horse shows, that helps you to see what's happening. But this is another easier way. By posting all these courses, other course designers can take a look at it and see what's happening. And I say the whole thing is trying, as you say, not to be over creative, which is easier said than done. But hopefully, you know, you also have the help of your technical delegate and your jury, so they can always put a second pair of eyes over the course.
And so this feedback that you're giving each of these reviews will be seen by the technical delegates and the grand juries as well? Presumably you welcome their input, do you?
Absolutely. Initially, when we send the letter out informing the event that you know, we're selecting them, it gets copied to the organizer, the technical delegate, the show jumping course designer, and that. So they are aware that's happening. And I equally ask them to give any feedback that they would like, not just the course designer, but if the TD wants to give a feedback, then it's welcome for them to see that. And, of course, it's there up on the website for everybody to access. It's not restricted just to members. So anybody can go on the website and read all the reports for all the events that's going to be held this year.
Now, how quickly after the event will you get the review from the course designer themselves back to you, Richard? What's the time frame?
Well, we're asking and giving them like 5 days after the event, if at all possible, giving people a chance to get home and get it up. And then I try to assess it and write my report. I'm a little bit behind this week because I was at another event at Tryon right after Rolex, so I was busy working there. And then, of course, flying back home, it's taken me a little longer. But we're hoping, you know, within probably 7 days of an event to have it up on the website for people to review.
Now, you mentioned all the different events that you're going to be covering in this program. And this is the, if you will, the next phase since you've been involved in it. You're taking it to this next level. Where do you see this going in the future, Richard? Do you have other plans to develop it?
Well, what's interesting, this was, just an idea we had last year of expanding it, because we've gone through all the procedures from before, you know, over the 11 years, working down through all the events, got down to prelim. And I felt that it needed a little refreshing. And what I've discovered so far, you know, people have really appreciated this. So it'll be a little case of during the year, seeing what feedback we get. Hopefully, it's going to be very, very positive. And then, you know, there's no reason that next year we can't start looking at some of the national events as well and bringing those in.
Now, we know it's US Equestrian Federation's Jumping Course Advisory Program, but obviously in conjunction with the US Eventing Association. So tell us how anyone who's interested in this program can find it. Where on the websites, and is there an easy way to navigate it?
Well, that's the interesting question. IT people are very clever at seem to be hiding things, I think. Initially, as it's funded by the Federation, it's on their website. It's a little bit long-winded. You have to go in under the compete heading, you then go to breeds and disciplines, then you go to eventing, and then you come to course advisory program. But however, there is a very much simpler way. At the moment, on the USEA's website, on the homepage, there's a small article that is explaining this program as well. And if people scroll down through that, in the final paragraph, they'll see a sentence that says, each course will be posted on the USEF website, which is in bold blue. And actually, if you click that, it will take you straight to my reports. So I suggest anyone wanting to read these, do that and then bookmark that page. And it will save all the hassle of going through the Federation site, which I say is a little bit long-winded.
Wonderful. All right. Well, we will, of course, put a link in our show notes to this episode so you can easily find the USEF's Jumping Course Advisory Program, which is run by Richard Jeffrey. And Richard, always good to catch up with you. Thank you very much for joining us and explaining this in a little bit more detail.
My pleasure.
Chris Bernard joins me now, who's also involved in the Course Advisory Program. Chris, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Chris. Nice to talk to you.
Yes, your first time on the show, and I know you're a listener too, so welcome.
I am. I enjoy listening to them, so it's actually a pleasure to be on it as well.
The course advisory program is something you've got involved with as a course designer, but before we get into that and your perspective on it, Chris, let's have a little bit of background as to your involvement in the sport, in equestrian sport, in eventing, and your role as a course designer.
I've had my small R for about 10 years now, and then just in the last year I've been working towards getting my big R, so hopefully that will happen soon. And then obviously I'd love to work my way up the ladder. I've done a little bit, I mainly do show jumping eventing. I do a little bit of jumpers and started to pick up a few more jumper shows as well, because for the license it's a USEF show jumping license, the license I have. So obviously getting more jumper stuff would be good. But I enjoy the eventing. I think this year I have 24 events to course design at, all the way from starter level to three star. So I am getting busier as the years go by. I've been a trainer for the previous most of my life, but in the last about 18 months ago, I decided to do the show jumps course design full time, and now I do that. And then in my spare time, I actually construct some of the show jumps at Red Hills this year. They rented my jumps and stuff. So I'm trying to do a little combination course design mainly, and then actually constructing and designing show jumps for people. So it's a new venture for me, and so far it's going well.
And this course advisory program then would be very helpful to you then as you progress up through the levels, so to speak, and obviously get feedback from Richard Jeffrey. That probably is helpful to you.
It is. When I first came to the States, I'm obviously English. When I first came to the States, I was lucky enough to design at the Milburgh Course Trials. And then when the course advisory program was implemented, I would send those courses to Richard. And this would have been, like 20 years ago, 15 years ago, something like that. And it was such a benefit just to have Richard look over them. Because there's things that he sees with his wealth of knowledge and experience that, you know, maybe I'm not thinking of, or the course designer isn't thinking of, and he can help out. And then it's progressed. And even now, no matter what the show or the event, I still from time to time will send in my courses, even not through the advisory program. I know we're going to talk about the FEI stuff, but I love his perspective, and it's definitely a confident way to sort of go out and build your course if you know he's looked at the courses.
We'll talk about that aspect of it then, and what, as a course designer with this program, what your input is and what you do get out of it at all of the levels that you're involved with designing.
Well, I think we're trying as we move forward, and I think Richard would say the same, is in the eventing, we're trying to get the levels for the show jumping courses, the courses to be different, and the level of the course to be appropriate. I think a lot of time in previous years, old school, we would just design one course and take out one aspect of the double or the triple, and you know, but everybody would jump the same course. What we're working towards now is making sure that we have an appropriate course for each level, whether it's beginner novice or whether it's advanced or, you know, three star or what have you. And so I think being able to sort of design the courses with the level in mind makes for a better education for the rider, better education for the horse. And with Richard's input, and I think with the advisory program, he's trying to guide people and help course designers actually in the eventing world attain that, you know, get to the point where we can have, you know, appropriate courses for appropriate levels. And also, you know, look at the courses and see that we don't have to change all 16 or 15 efforts in the course to make another track. You know, like there's a to it, you know, in what we do, the time is important. So we don't want to take, you know, 45 minutes for every change. So with the program, we can send Richard the courses. He can look at it. And if he sees a nicer track or a different question or question too hard, he'll let us know. And we can work together and keep the courses, you know, appropriate and moving forward, you know, as far as the entire discipline goes.
And of course, to standardize the courses throughout the country, I understand that is one of the main objectives of this program. So tell us about the courses that you design, Chris, around the country and at what levels.
I design everything from three star to, as I said, starter. I'm fortunate enough to do some of the bigger events in the country. I build Rebecca Farm. I did it last year. I'm off there again this year. I've done the Fork for the last 4 years. And then Pine Top in Georgia, I do a group in the winter, Pine Top in Georgia. They run three star all the way through beginner novice. And then this year I picked up Red Hills and the Virginia Horse Trials. They run up beginner novice through two star. So I'm lucky enough to build at all the levels. So I'm lucky enough to sort of see all the levels of horses, all the levels of riders, and actually get to know some of these riders and horses and do that. This last weekend, I just went to Texas Rose, which is actually a new part of the country for me, which is a different group of riders, which again, I think is important that, you know, they get to see different courses. And I know with the course advisory program, we're trying to have a standard. And this way, with what we're doing, I know with the new online FEI stuff that Richard is working on, he puts out courses so that course designers on the West Coast can see what course designers on the East Coast are doing, and vice versa, which I think for the standard is gonna be really beneficial. I think, you know, if we can, we don't always see or know what course designers are doing, but with this, at least we can get an idea of what questions are being asked and you know, the type of facilities we're using. I think that's important as well. So it's going to have great benefit, and I think the more it's used, the better we'll all be.
In terms of your takeaway from the program so far, I mean, we all look towards further education to advance our skills and develop in our specialisms. What do you think has been most useful to you that you've taken out of this program, aside from what you've just explained there? Because we want to give people a perspective of this if they're not involved, and maybe other countries are listening to this and thinking that what they could learn from it as well, Chris.
I think the first thing is using Richard's knowledge. I think these good, you know, upper level, well qualified course designers have so much knowledge, and they're willing to share it. So I think that's the first thing for me, is what I get. You know, Richard's so open to information, and those people that have attended his clinics know that. But on a personal level, he's so helpful. I can email him, call him anytime, have a question. So I think that's sort of a great thing about it. But also, I think, you know, as times move on, courses change and material changes and footing changes. And with what Richard's doing with this program, I think you're able to sort of cover all aspects of course designing, whether it's beginner, novice, you know, through prelim event or levels. I think that there's something to be learned from an experienced person's comments and experience, and I think that's a big part of this. We do need more course designers. You know, there are only a handful of people that are doing it. I know we'd love to try and get some more people. There are clinics and stuff, but this program is a nice additional education thing for people to use and take advantage of if they want to get into the course designing, or if they're doing the courses already, no matter what the level.
It's a real hands-on review, isn't it, of the actual courses that maybe you wouldn't get, as you say, a different perspective to that which you would get at the clinic.
Yes, very much so. You know, and with it being hands-on, you know, it's your course. Richard doesn't change it. He doesn't look at the course and say, you know what, that's not, do this. He will give you suggestions. It's almost constructive, you know, whether it's, you know, criticism or ideas or thoughts. It's always in a positive manner. It's not designed to sort of tell somebody that's not good. It's designed to say, this is what, it's more of a question. Why do we do this? You know, you've done this here. Why don't you do that there? It's an open discussion about the course. But it's so educational, and then you know, you learn from that. So the next time you do a course, you keep that bit of information and say, okay, same arena or different arena might come up, and you don't, you use the same question or you try and figure out if it's appropriate for that course, that level. But just the education that you get is valuable. And I think anything in the equestrian world, riding horses or teaching or you know, officiating, you learn from experiences. So if you can tap their experience and they're willing to give it, then in my opinion, we should take it. And with Richard, he's so forthcoming with the help and with the education. And I know, and I'm the same way, and I'm sure I know Donovan is the same way. You know, if anybody wants to apprentice, you know, or come and assist, we're open absolutely every time to that. We will never say no, because of it's education for that person. It's a great experience for everybody to try and get, you know, good courses and positive courses and more course designers.
Well, there is an open invitation from Chris Bernard and from Mark Donovan and, of course, from Richard Jeffrey. Chris, thank you very much indeed for taking the time to come on the program.
You're very welcome, Chris. Thank you for having me.
And there'll be a link in our show notes accompanying this episode at useventing.com, where you can go and find more information about the Course Advisory Programme, as well as read the reviews that Richard mentioned. And that's it for this week's programme. Don't forget you can download this podcast from the iTunes podcast store to any podcast app, so you can listen to the show wherever you are. And if you've missed any episodes of this podcast, you can catch up by clicking on the Media tab on the top of the homepage. And be sure to check the website regularly for updates from the Omnibus as well as the latest news. And you can also keep right up to date by following us on social media, on Facebook and Twitter. So until the next time, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.